This woman is straight off the plane and straight into our studio.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Whoa, all right, you guys. Welcome on in to The Point with Kristen Burt. That'll wake you up. It was really loud and awesome. Of course, the Dancing with the Stars theme, because we have Karina Smirnoff here in the studio. And I just want to read this. And I got this off of Wikipedia, so let me know if it's inaccurate or we need to correct anything. She's a five-time U.S. national champion, World Trophy champion, and Asian Open champion. Smirnoff has won the title of the UK Open, is a three-time champion at the US Open, two-time champion at the Asian Open, five-time champion at the Dutch Open, and five-time US National Professional Champion. She has taken second at the British Open Blackpool Dance Festival, hello, and she's the first woman to ever make the British Professional Final with three different partners. Is that all true?
Actually, Paul, Louis, Slavik, Dimitri, four partners.
We need to correct that on Wikipedia if someone can get out there. It is four partners. Karina Smirnoff, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I had no idea this was all on internet. Yeah.
I know. And I was like, I have to read it because it's amazing. That's an amazing history. That is incredible.
Thank you.
And you literally are off the plane. You have been traveling quite a bit.
Yes. Well, I normally, I'm pretty good with jet lag. I think I've kind of worked tolerance to flying and changing time zones. But this was a little tricky because this was Asia to LA, next day LA to Europe, and now I'm back. So, like, I think just the body is confused. It's not that I've fallen asleep at a certain time. I'm just sleepy all the time right now.
You're like, I just want to take a long nap. Let me know what day I should wake up. Yeah. Yeah. Asia's tough, too, sometimes, you know, because you lose a day and gain a day. And yeah.
Yes. Oh, the worst was New Zealand because I had to fly through China one time, and I literally, by the time I got to New Zealand, I asked the immigration officer, I said, sir, what day is it? He's like, Thursday. I'm like, what happened to Wednesday? I left on Monday.
Yeah, you're like, the whole calendar just switched up on you, and then yeah. You go home and you're like, I get to relive another day, but I still lost that Tuesday.
Exactly.
It's really kind of amazing when you think about something like that. But welcome to the studio.
Thank you. I will hopefully
keep you awake for this hour, and we're gonna have fun. As I was saying, you know, it is your dance story, and I think what's so fascinating is we at Dancing with the Stars, when we've watched your whole career, we get to see what's happening in the present. But you've had an incredible start because you started out in the Ukraine.
Yes. Well, I did everything before I tried ballroom dance. And I started with ballet, with figure skating, gymnastics. Then my grandma put me to piano lessons. So I was always very energetic, you know, kid that would always get into trouble. So I think my parents tried to get me tired by putting me into all these activities, you know, hopefully like, oh, she's gonna fall asleep, you know. And then when I tried dancing, I think it was about 10 years old, and it kind of had everything. It had the sport aspect, it had the artistic element, it had showbiz, you know, competitiveness. So I fell in love because it offered everything.
Oh, I love that. So when you were like 10, 11, that's when the ballroom really started, ballroom lessons and everything. Did you have a time or like a moment where you're like, I'm really liking this. I think I'm going to do it when I get older or as a profession?
Well, you always have like dreams, you know, and I think at least from what I know, every person in their life dream of being an actor once or twice, you know? And so I always thought that dancing would be a perfect engine to get you into the Hollywood, right? But I mean, living in Ukraine, this is literally just a dream. I remember dreaming, walking down the streets of New York, listening to Frank Sinatra. So, but it was just something that, like a fairy tale dream. You never think it would be possible. And then my parents moved to the United States, and we moved to New York. And I remember, I was just barely 14. I think I turned 14, and 2 days later we moved. So we were walking through the city, and my mom and I found a dance studio. And like, when I'm saying walking through the city, like we walked from Upper West Side to like the financial district by foot.
That is huge. Yeah. Anyone that knows, like 20 blocks is 1 mile. So you walked
a lot of blocks. I mean, you walked over 100 blocks easily, so.
Yeah, it was like maybe, I don't know, a few hours, but this is like to experience New York City for the first time. And we were both like going through a museum, right? Like looking at buildings, at streets, at city lights. So, and then we saw this dance studio and we decided to, you know, walk in and try. And neither one of us spoke English. Mm-hmm. But in our broken words, we explained that I wanted to dance. But it is not a cheap hobby. And, you know, so when they wrote down the amount we would need to pay, we're like, okay, well, maybe it's in the distant future, but like not today because we couldn't afford it. And then I didn't dance for about 3 years.
No way. So from 14 to 17, you were pretty much not doing anything.
Yeah, well, because it's just, it wasn't possible when you start your life in America, like all over again.
And you're in New York City, which is extra expensive. Yeah. I've lived there. I was a poor college student there. I went to NYU. It is so expensive.
Yes.
Can you explain what that transition was like? Because going from, you know, the Ukraine, coming here, I've got to imagine that is so overwhelming, exciting,
yes,
but still there's probably days that were really a struggle.
Oh, it was a struggle for a few years. And I remember, you know, being in Ukraine, we were never like wealthy, but I didn't know what it meant, like not to have something if you really wanted to. Like my parents had a very stable, good life. And I remember them sitting me down and saying that things are different now. And then we started from literally zero, from mm-hmm. scratch. And my parents slept on remember the old school blow up mattresses that you took to the pool?
Yes.
Like the ones that, you know, now you have like the cup holders and like massagers in the back. But like back then it was just like a flat skinny mattress. Mm-hmm. So they slept on that. And I guess somebody gave us a letter L shaped couch. So I could only like, you know, rotate in a certain position.
Like, let me sleep this side. Now yep. I rotate to the side.
Exactly. So we started from very, very bottom. And my mom and I found a job to clean a hair salon once a week. And my dad would deliver newspapers. So like now when I look back, people like always say, you know, you love to work. And I think that is part of the reason, because you experience not being able to afford many things. Mm-hmm. And now you want to know that, you know, you have a purpose and you have a job and that you're able to take care of yourself and your family. So, yeah. And dancing, ironically enough, became one of the ways that I would make the money. So I found some of the Russian restaurants in Brooklyn, even though we lived in the Bronx, which, oh my God, there's a story about that in itself. Because my dad... Finally, we were able to buy our first car. Mm-hmm. And it was like a really old, beat up, I think it was either a Buick or a Lincoln. I can't remember. But we didn't know. And it was one of the few models that had aluminum engine.
Oh, right? Wow.
Yeah. So, which had a tendency to overheat
yes.
if you take it out on the road for long periods of time. Neither one of us knew anything like that. So, my dad would drive me to dance lessons in Brooklyn. We found finally like a studio that had a lot of immigrant kids. So, the prices were lower and everything. Mm-hmm. And from there, of course, we found the Russian restaurants where some of the kids from the studio would put on shows. Right. So then my dad then would wait for me and then we would get into our little car and we would drive back to the Bronx. Well, at one of these drives, my dad started smelling like something's burning. Right. So, of course, I would always sleep. I don't know why. I always sleep in any sort of transportation, train, you know, ferry, car, bus. It's like I sit down and I think the movement.
And you're like, I'm out.
Yeah. And like when I would go to college by train, I would wake up on someone's shoulder, like, sorry. And he'd be like, no, no, it's okay. Be like, okay.
You're like, sorry about that.
Yeah. Drooling. So yeah. And then, you know, little by little, my dad goes, I think we need to pull over. Because this is like the car smells weird. Like there's burnt rubber smell. Anyway, the next thing I know, we pull over and we literally see fumes coming out from under the hood.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that was that car. It didn't last long.
Yeah, you're like, welcome to America. Thanks so much. So when you get back into dance, you know, after a few years off, do you get right into competing, or are you just taking class? And
no, I ironically enough, I well, because you know, at that age when you're like 16, 17, it's young love, mm-hmm. right? So I had this boyfriend who couldn't dance to save his life, but he was very, very sweet, and he wanted to dance with me even though he couldn't. So we went for it, and we did our very first competition, and I'm not lying. There were two couples, us and another couple, dancing, competing, and we somehow ended up being third.
Wait, so there's two couples, and they gave you third place?
Yes, I think we were like so bad that we're probably off music. I don't know. But I remember like getting the award. Well, I mean, it's hard to call it an award. It was more like a punishment. And trying to figure out the math. There were like two couples on the floor. How the heck did we get the third
place? You're not good enough for second.
Yeah, sorry. Literally. I think that's what the judges meant to say.
Like, go back to the studio, yeah. Do some more work. That's kind of an amazing message.
Yeah.
I'm stubborn enough that that would add fuel to the fire for me. But other people will be like, I'm quitting.
No, I think that it helped me just like after a certain period of time to realize that maybe this wasn't the perfect partnership. And yeah. So naturally, the love kind of faded away after that result too.
You're like, sorry, dude.
Yeah. The third out of two, I was like, I don't think I love you as much anymore.
It's new math, people.
Yeah. So yes. And then I tried a few different partners, and the results started to happen, but it was all in like youth and amateur divisions, mm-hmm. in the States. And then one of the top professional men in the world asked me to have a tryout with him. And at first, this is funny, because at first I was like, this is weird. Why is he asking me? Like, right? I'm literally out of youth. And like, youth means under 21. Mm-hmm. And then you go through like a long amateur career, and then you usually turn pro. So he asked me for a tryout, and I'm like, okay, this is unusual, but hey, I'll get a bunch of free lessons, you know?
Like, I'll take it.
Yeah. So we had a tryout, and he wanted to dance, and then results really started happening. And this was the turning point where I guess what I always loved now became a career.
And who was that partner that sort of changed?
That's Paul Killick. He actually lives in the States.
Yes. Killick Classic. We know that.
Yes, yes, yes. Killick Classic. Yep. So Paul was the person who kind of took me out of, I want to say, nowhere, pretty much, result-wise. And the next competition, I was dancing in the professional final. So, yeah.
He saw something in you. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, I didn't know what he saw at that time. I just thought he was maybe not mentally well.
But he must have something like that. Seen like a raw talent, you know, that he knew that he could like, yeah. He knew, mold. He was like, yeah, mold, I can do something with this, yeah.
Yeah, and he was literally molded. I had no voice, right? I had to be quiet, and he would just tell me what to do, and I'd be like, yes, sir. Like, it was also quite a new experience for me, because I'm rarely lost for words, you mm-hmm. know, and opinions just, they come easy.
Yeah, that's good though.
Yeah, and then with Paul, I would be like, mm-hmm.
You're like, where did my voice go?
Yeah, so with him, the whole career became possible, and I started seeing dancing not just as my passion, as something that I loved and wanted to do, but also means of making a living. Which was quite a shock to my parents' mental state, because, you know, I was going to great university. I had great scores, great GPA. I was working at this actuarial consultant firm that wanted to pay for my grad school. So, yeah, they were like, you're going to do what? You're going to leave college? What?
Did you wind up graduating eventually?
Yes, yes.
Good
I did
for
graduate,
you.
Which was nightmare, because, you know, I wouldn't say, and I think, I don't know if I'm supposed to say that out loud, but I didn't tell any of my professors that I was dancing. Mm-hmm. But every time I would be gone for like a week, I would come back like in tan, right?
It's spray tan, yeah.
Yes. So, and they would be like, what is this? And this is before like spray tan was the thing, right?
And
so,
people really understood ballroom too, you know? Yeah. It's before Dancing with the Stars was in everyone's living room.
Exactly. So they would be like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I have this weird skin condition where it gets, oh my gosh, you have no idea. I had about like 16 wisdom teeth. I had all the religious holidays across all the religious, like, you know, religions. So yeah, I had to use every excuse
in the book.
Yeah. And then sometimes the professor would come up and be like, so how are you feeling? And I'm like, wait, what did I say to him? Which one was it? You know?
I know. You're like, did I tell him that excuse yet? I can't remember. That's amazing. They probably were going home going, honey, like one of my students has the weirdest skin condition. Sometimes she's like tan, sometimes she's not.
Yeah. And like, usually, you know how you, when you do the tanning yourself, at least back in the day,
streaky,
you kind of would stop at your wrist because you would continue washing your hands, but you let the body tan develop. So yeah, it'd be like a floating head and
it was a little
hands.
Bit more orange. Now they have like all shades, but
back then it was really orange.
Really orange. So bad. That's incredible. I want to know, because you've had several partners, you know, throughout your career. How do you know when it's time for the partnership to end? Because it's not easy. It's like its own, it's a dance marriage.
Well, it takes two, first of all. So sometimes you don't know, but your partner knows. And then they pretty much give you a heads up.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, this would happen kind of with Louis Van Amstel and me, because like at this point, Slavik and I were already... Wow, that's a lot of information coming out in the next 10 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so Slavik and I dated for a while besides dancing, right?
That happens a lot with ballroom couples, so.
Yeah. So we were dating, but neither one of us planned to dance together. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people were talking about it, right? And I think at one point, my partner, Louis Van Amstel at that point, he didn't think that this was going to be long before we might dance together. Mm-hmm. So he decided to find a partner who was actually Slavik's ex-partner, because Slavik split up at that point with Joanna.
Yeah.
And so Louis and Joanna were like getting ready for competitions, practicing, and then I found out. And so we actually never planned to dance together with Slav. Wow.
But you had a very successful career with Slavik.
Yes, yeah, so
isn't
people
that funny?
Saw something that I guess we both didn't, or yeah, I don't know. So I think Louis helped us get into partnership faster.
And not a bad push, actually.
No.
I
said to Louis, thank you. Exactly.
You did me a huge favor. That's really incredible when you think about something like that, the way it sort of plays out. You guys also did Shall We Dance, too, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, that was such an amazing experience.
Yes. Richard Gere and Jennifer Lopez, people. If you have not seen this movie... It's time to go to Netflix and check it out. I mean, what a special experience.
Well, the cool part is how we actually got the parts. So we would always practice at the studio at Dance New York in Manhattan, mm-hmm. right next to where David Letterman's show was.
Oh, I know exactly where that is.
Right?
Near Times Square. Yeah.
Yes. And, I have an issue with timing. Like, time is just like a very... foreign kind of aspect.
You mean
to
like
me.
This kind of time?
Yeah, like I don't know. Like I always, even if I get up super early and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be on time, things happen out of my control.
Do you know my husband? I think you do. I always say he has his own time zone.
Yes. I think some people are just born without the talent of time.
Yep, it happens.
Yeah. So and I honestly give myself a solid effort to be on time all the time. But it's just, when it happens, it's almost accidental that I'm on time.
Elena said she might come if she didn't think you were going to get here on time. She was like, I might bring her to the studio and sit here with you guys. I'm like, that's okay.
No, she knows me and she always like, and she's so like punctual. She's always on time.
She was here before me last week, because she, you know, she was here last week. She was here like 15 minutes ahead of me, even.
She's always on time. Yeah. And it's like now she knows me, so she doesn't get upset. She just waits. And she's like, oh, wow, you're only 10 minutes late. That's great.
Nice. She probably is giving you an earlier time. You know that, right? So
you're
only 10 minutes late instead of 30 minutes late.
Yeah. Even our coach, my coach today, Donnie, he goes, well, it's guaranteed, hands down, you're going to be 10 to 15 minutes late. I was like, does everyone know that?
Now everyone knows it if they didn't.
Yeah, so wherever, if you need me somewhere, just say 15 minutes earlier without letting me know that it's 15 minutes early and I'll be there in time.
I love that. So for you being late, is that how you got the job for Shall We Dance?
Well, yes, kind of.
Amazing.
Kind of. So I am driving into the city and Slav just got to the studio and he calls me and he goes, how far are you? And I'm like, I'm like 20 minutes. And he goes, okay, that means you're 40 minutes. I'm like, damn it. Like, that's true, right? Yep. He knows, right? He goes, well, you hurry up. You got to get here. I'm like, why? It's like, we have at least like 4 hours to practice. He goes, no. Richard here. Richard Gere's here at the studio. And I'm like, all right, that's his way of trying to get me to the studio faster, right? I'm like, okay, of course. And Tom Cruise and everybody else. He goes, no, I'm not lying. I'm serious. Richard Gere's sitting right there. And I'm like, dude, I'm on my way. I can't drive any faster. There are cars. He's like, well, just get here. Then 10 minutes later, he calls back. He goes, oh my God, there's like people reading scripts. I'm like, are you serious? Ooh. He goes, yes. I was like, I don't believe you. Anyway, so I walk into the studio and then I look over and Richard Gere is sitting right there on one of the chairs. Right? Exactly. So I was like,
so handsome.
Right. So like you're trying to control your facial expression so you don't look like
Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we're walking around and one of the choreographers on the movie was Liz Curtis. Mm-hmm. From the ballroom industry. She was a champion with Ron Montez for many years. And Liz and I know each other quite well. And she goes, can you do me a favor? Can you like dance a little bit so Richard can see what it's supposed to look like?
Oh my God.
You have no idea how nervous we were. We were so nervous. It was like more nerve wracking. Yeah. Like we both look at each other and we're like shaking. I'm like, this is like worse than Blackpool Final, you know? So anyway, we danced and Richard was like, wow, this is amazing. And Peter Chelson, who was the director, he was already at the studio and he walked over and he literally gave me a script and he goes, here, read this. So I read a couple of lines and he goes, do you want to be in the movie? I know.
What?
I was that was exactly my reaction. I'm like, yeah.
I think so.
This, you hear these stories, right? Like, when other people tell them and you never believe that they're really true. Like you walked in on a director who saw you and had you read a line and said, you want to be in the movie? Like
that never happens.
That never happens. But that happened to me in Slav. So then next thing I know, we're in the movie and we teach. And I was teaching Richard Gere. I was teaching Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The boys, when J-Lo would walk into the room, it's like you could hear little birds chirping around them. They're like, ah, you know?
She is one of the most stunning women I've ever seen in person.
And flawless.
Every year as her chronological age goes up, I swear to God, she looks better and better and is aging backwards. Her skin is incredible.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on there, but I was like, if I can take a snippet of that and take it over here, because she looks incredible.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She's stunning.
Down to earth. They were both so sweet and so amazing.
She's a New Yorker. She's
From the Bronx.
Yeah, she's from the Bronx and the block. Yeah, she's both. But I mean, that's what I love about her. I was like, she is, you know.
And she was like full on dancing. It was kind of interesting how both like Richard and Jennifer, how they approached learning a routine. Because Jennifer approached it more as a dancer. Mm-hmm. She wanted to know the steps and then she would put the emotion and the character on top. But for Richard, I had to go the other way around. I had to explain the story behind the step and the move. And then he would learn the steps. Otherwise, it would just be, you know, combination of steps and he didn't understand it.
So that was your early practice for Dancing with the Stars, wasn't it?
Yes. It
Isn't
was my
that
first,
crazy?
I mean, my first pro-am dancer was Richard
Gere.
That's like...
Wait, I know. You're always wanting like the A-listers. Like everyone's always like, can we get like Meryl Streep on Dancing with the Stars? You basically did it in a movie though, you know, with Richard Gere. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the following year you joined Dancing with the Stars, right?
No. So this was 2000 or 2001. Slav is the best with dates. He remembers everything.
So it was a lot earlier than I thought.
Yeah. And then I like 2000 or 2001. And then Dancing with the Stars started in UK 2005, I think.
It was here in the US, I think, 4. And then 5 was the second season. And then 6 was when you joined season 3.
Yeah. I joined in 2006 in August. So in the second half.
Yeah.
In the fall season.
The fall season.
Yeah.
What was that? Did you get a phone call? Like, how does everyone, it's so interesting because everyone's like story of how they got on the show is very different. How was it for you?
Well, we got approached with Slav. We got approached in Blackpool by the British version, by Strictly. Mm-hmm. And they were doing their first season, if I remember correctly, at the Blackpool Tower, right? And but we were like in a race to win the title, and we were like race horses with blinders, and I'm like, no, we can't take time off to do the show. So we said no. I know Paul Killick actually did that season with Hannah Kirtunen. Yeah, so they actually did the British version. And then when the show came to the US, they did ask if we would join the show. And of course, we had to audition. So there is an auditioning tape, which is like, oh my gosh. I hope they don't pull it off.
They sometimes like dust it off.
Yeah. I'm like, I hope it's like somewhere hidden.
We've seen a couple of them. They do dust them off.
Yeah. It's fun. It's different because, first of all, it's what, like 12 years ago? At this
amazing
point,
yeah.
But I did audition, and I still couldn't do it because of the competitive field and still going for the title. And then in season three, I remember I moved to Moscow because my partner just had a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, listen, let's like be based in Moscow for the beginning, and then we can move because the baby's going to be a little older and we'll be
able to travel.
Yeah. So I was calling Conrad Green, our executive from Moscow, and we were on the phone. He goes, so are you going to come and join season three? And I was like, okay, I want to do it. Like, I've always wanted to do it, but I just couldn't figure out how to do the competitive field,
right,
as well as Dancing with the Stars. So then I literally flew in from Moscow, and the next day I met Mario
Lopez.
Yes.
That was a good partner for the first season
of
the show,
amazing.
Right?
It was amazing. He was amazing.
He's a great mover.
Yeah, and he tried super hard. Like, literally, I would fall asleep or just take a nap while he's practicing, and then I would wake up. He'd be like, okay, look, am I doing it right? And, like, he was, like, the perfect student. And you don't know what you have because it's the very first partner of yours until, like, you have a couple of seasons under your belt. Because then I'm like, wow, Mario was incredible.
This is so easy. I got this show. Don't worry about it. Even if we didn't win, I got the mirror ball. Don't you worry. Yeah. And then you move into, like, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yes. Oh,
Floyd Mayweather.
I love
Mario. You go to for another Mario. Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny because this is, like, the first one was Mario. Like Mario. Yeah, but the other Mario was Mario.
Mario.
And we had to pronounce it quite accurately because Mario didn't like to be Mario. And Mario did not like to be Mario.
See, and Mario sounds like it's the A sounds weird to me, like going Mario.
Yeah.
Mario. But I just always say Mario, but I understand. Yeah. People have their pronunciations. Yeah. I should pronounce it correctly. Mario. when you get into, you know, because obviously Mario was an easy contestant to have because he does have some training and he was a great student. When you get into those harder rehearsals, where do you begin when you know that you're going to have a challenging contestant?
Well, usually you try to figure out how they learn, like whether they are more visual, whether they kinetic, whether they analytical. Like, you want to figure out what makes them understand and remember the moves. Mm-hmm. And then once you figure that out, then you do little sections and you go through repetition and you make them repeat and say it out loud. And, you know, and you definitely don't do as complicated of choreography,
right?
You try to keep it on a simpler side, but yeah, you know, it's I think that's the beauty of the show, that you, first of all, you become a better teacher with every season because you have to think outside the box, and it teaches you patience.
Yes.
Like, I think before Dancing with the Stars, patience was non-existent in my vocabulary, in my body. Like, I wanted everything last year. And with the show, you, like, if you have no patience, like,
you're in a lot of trouble.
Yes. So I definitely am grateful for that lesson from the show, for sure. But every partner is unique in their own way. And I think the coolest thing about doing Dancing with the Stars, you get to meet so many different people from different avenues of the industry, whether it's, you know, an athlete, a football player, or an actor, or an artist, like a performer,
right.
You get to live their life for those 3 months, especially if they're still active.
Well, and it's kind of interesting, too. You kind of became like an athlete specialist. You had a lot of athletes through your time on the show.
Yeah, like I had a boxer. Oh, my God. Everybody, when I started Floyd. Dancing with Floyd.
I think a lot of people tuned in just to see, like, Floyd. Come on.
And he was freakishly strong.
Was like, he really?
Because he's about, like, maybe a little bit taller than me. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, obviously, he's ripped. He's, like, built. But he's not, like, a big guy. And he can literally just pick up my dead weight with one arm. Wow. I know. I'd be like, wow.
That's a good thing. You're like, so we can do some cool partnering things.
Yeah. And then he would speak Ebonics, right? To the immigrant.
And you're like, what languages are we all speaking together?
No. And I'd be like, I am sorry. I would be like looking at him. I'm like, I don't know what you just said. So then I had Leonard, his manager, in the room. I was like, dude, you got to translate. I have, it's like foreign.
What does that mean to
yeah.
me?
I'm like, what did he say? He said he wants to do it again. Oh, okay.
You're like, got it. Some of my favorite of your athletes, I loved Jacoby.
Oh, JJ. I actually texted him like a couple of days ago.
Did you really? I there was something about him. There was that, I don't even remember what dance it was, but he was just like in his purple shirt doing this.
Doing that,
and I
yeah.
was like, I'm in. I'm all in with him. Like, I just loved his personality.
Yeah.
And it's why he made third. You guys came in third that season, right?
Yeah, no, he's like such a sweet and kind and funny guy, because I remember watching him on TV, like after the games or doing the interviews, and because he has a lot of animations, like mm-hmm. remember his facial expressions.
Oh, they were great.
I think they did a whole package about his facial expression.
So I was like,
oh. Yeah, and it'd be like the eyes, and the eyes get really big.
Yep.
So I was like, wow, I don't know if he's gonna be nice or mean, you know. And then I think online it said he was like 6'2" or something, and then he walked in and I was like, like, you are not 6'2". He goes, no, I'm almost 6'5". I'm like, whoa. Okay.
You're like a lot taller than I thought.
Yeah.
What about, here's one that I thought could have stayed longer. Randy Couture.
Yes.
I was totally yeah. looking forward to like a full season with you guys.
Yeah. Randy was amazing. And funnily enough, I have two dogs, right? And one of my dogs is named Randy after Randy Couture.
No way.
I'm not kidding. The other one is Oscar after Oscar De La Hoya.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love boxing, UFC. I love all of that. So I had to tell him the news that I have a dog named after him.
You're like, I love you so much. My dog is named yeah. after you.
And he goes, well, I really hope it's not a Chihuahua.
What kind of dog is it?
It's American Staffordshire okay. Terrier. It's a big dog.
That's good.
But hey, it would have been funny if it's like a little tiny it's Chihuahua. Like,
why is it little? You know, you're like, here's Randy. Meet each other.
No, it's a big dog. And he was so cool about it. And such a gentleman and sweet. And I think, yes, maybe not a natural dancer, but he embraced it. And he, in the beginning, maybe he was a little bit shy about it. Like, mm-hmm. you could see, like, slight insecurities. But once he embraced it and he was pointing those fingers, it was great.
Oh, I
it
love
was
that.
Awesome.
I just, when he got eliminated, that I was like,
I know,
man.
Fast.
I Too was like, fast.
Damn it.
I know. It's so frustrating. A couple other people that I think, like, people always think about, Ralph Macchio.
Oh,
the karate kid who was very elegant on his feet as
yes,
well.
Yes. I remember when, so sometimes before we meet our stars, producers take us, you know, to the side and they will kind of tell us who the star is if they think we might not know
right.
them. Right. So I finally get to the studio and I remember Joe, one of the producers, he took me to the side and he goes, okay, so when did you move to America? I'm like, why? He goes, well, do you know of Karate Kid? I'm thinking, like, how far back are we going, right?
Right.
I'm like, Karate Kid, yes. It's like, I have Mr. Miyagi. Right? He goes, no, because he passed away. I was like, okay, yes, that would be a conflict.
That would be odd.
Yes.
That would be legendary, but odd.
Right? And he goes, so I didn't know who it was, but he goes, so you watched the movie? I'm like, yeah, many times. And then I'm waiting in the studio and Ralph Macchio walks in and I'm like, are you guys for real? Like, Ralph Macchio? But I mean, I love Ralph in the Karate Kid, but what I like absolutely fell in love with him from is The Outsiders.
The Outsiders.
And my cousin Vinny.
Oh my God. Outsiders.
The Outsiders is one of the best movies ever.
Do this for Pony Boy.
Right?
Oh.
Stay cold, Pony Boy.
I know.
It's like to me, I remember studying this movie in college, like from the music score to cinematography to like the relationship between the Outsiders and Gone with the Wind, how they do the whole sunset scene.
Yes.
Like, I remember studying that movie as a movie that kind of had everything in it.
It's Francis Ford Coppola. It's an amazing yes. film. And I don't know why we haven't seen it sort of have like a cult resurgence, and it's like everywhere on Netflix. I haven't seen it out there, but I would love to see it again.
And the cast, like it had so many brilliant actors
Patrick
in it.
Patrick Swayze, Tom Cruise.
Before they were big.
Rob Lowe, yes.
Yeah.
Both of
Matt Dillon.
Matt Dillon, Emilio Estevez,
yes.
like so many great people.
Yes, I remember when Ralph walked in, literally my jaw dropped. I
would have cried probably.
I was getting close to that.
Yeah. I was like, do you understand who you are?
And I'm like, yay, thank you.
Also, what about your winning season? Did you know early on you were going to win, or did you have like a moment in the season where you're like, I think we got this?
Oh no, are you kidding me? I was raised in the communist country. I was the biggest skeptic ever. I was like, there is no way we're gonna win. Like, there is no way, Jess. I guarantee you we're not even gonna be like maybe third, but this is like already when we're getting close to like the maybe semifinals or mm-hmm. quarterfinals. This is where I'm thinking maybe if, you know, we have a chance, like third. I did not think we were gonna win.
At all.
Yeah, and I was like, I was so Russian at that point. With JR, I was like, dude, whatever happens, happens. You know, if we get second, we celebrate, you know?
Like, just deal with it. You're probably not going to win. I remember that season, too, in that I feel like there was a ton of press around JR. Like, I feel like there was lots of, like, People magazine features on you guys all the time. And people were really watching because of him. People just fell in love with him.
Well, I think when we started that season, not many people knew of JR unless they were, like, soap opera fans.
All My Children, right?
Yes, All My Children. And so... And I think he was on it, but he wasn't on All My Children all the time, mm-hmm. or he wasn't like one of the main characters. Mm-hmm. So I remember hearing, you know, everybody has an opinion, right? I remember people telling me, oh, you're probably going to be like one of the first to go, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you know, we'll see. But with JR, it's not just because he's so cool and he's so sweet, and he's inspiring.
That's right.
Like his story and how he viewed life and how like everything that happened to him, what he did to turn it around, and how he used that then to help other people. Like it just became so inspiring. And I remember like even when we would see people on the street, they would sometimes get emotional mm-hmm. just saying how much they appreciate like him even being open and speaking about it, because it inspires them to be kinder, to be more open, to mm-hmm. be more helpful, you know? So it was one of the coolest season. And I remember like, you know, always being nervous in the beginning because I wanted to make sure that, you know, I don't say anything offensive or anything. And JR was so cool. Like, he would start joking because, like, one time I remember I got to the studio and being the woman, I'm like, oh, I forgot my earrings. He goes, can you imagine me waking up? And I was like, where's my ear? And I'm like, okay.
You're like, I get it. Lesson learned, and thank you for the joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, though. It's, like, perspective, too,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
That's really incredible. Where do you keep your mirror ball trophy?
Well, I have a studio in the Valley. Yep. I have the studio at the new Westfield Mall.
Which is really
village. Nice,
you guys.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love the lanterns when the lights come on in the evening.
So
it's
great.
It's a great family place to like even go for dinner, so just like walk around. So I have a studio in the Village. And of course, my mom has this glass lit stand and the trophy is in it. But everybody wants to take a picture and no one realizes how heavy it is.
Yes.
So they're all like, ooh!
They're like, whoa.
Yeah, but it's there, and it's right in the front and mom gets to look at it every day.
I love that. Are you still doing some of the outdoor events during the summer where you do the dance nights and things like that?
Yes. I try to do as much as I can, but it's more of a, you know, just for the benefit of the neighborhood and the
community.
And the community. Yeah. Yeah. So it takes up quite a lot of time, but I can only like allocate that much time for charity.
Yep. Yeah, I understand. We all have to keep a roof over our head.
Yes. So we don't do it as much as I would like to. And unfortunately, like, I tried to get Westfield to agree to do that, like, even if I'm not there. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's still great. People
it's
come
so
out
great.
And dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for some reason, they really want me to be there. So I...
You're the attraction.
Well, but I, you know, that limits how many nights we can do
of
it.
Of course.
And I would... to me, like, when I go to New York over the summer and I go to the Lincoln Center, like, it is one of the coolest things. You dance for hours with people you've never met before. Oh. And it's just... It's a feel-good experience.
And they do it down the Music Center in downtown LA, too. So it's just... It's,
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
In the summer?
In the summer. Need to get you
when
down
does
there.
It start?
I don't know. We'll have to look at the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some like really cool stuff that they do downtown now too. They even do like little raves and stuff. The Music Center is very hip. I don't know what they're like, we're going to do a rave. They do it like once a month or something like that.
Oh, I need to look into
Not
it.
Not like the traditional rave you guys that, you know, you're thinking about, but yeah. Yes. Oh, a little more straight-laced than that. And one more person I just want to mention, because I think Corbin, if we don't mention Corbin, come on.
I know.
Come on. You know, that season, I sit there, I think he's still in my brain. I'm like, do I agree with everyone who won? Like, it, you know, comes down to the votes at the end of the day. But at the same time, I'm like, he was such a great contestant.
Oh, he's incredible. And it's like, you know, no matter how much you love your partners, and I've stayed super close with pretty much most of them, mm-hmm. But... You're 7 days a week for hours. You see each other every single day for like 8 to 10 hours. Even if you absolutely adore each other, like, you're bound to get on each other's nerves, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you will have disagreements. I haven't had one disagreement with Corbin throughout the whole season.
That's incredible.
I know.
Not like one bad day, like you guys
Well, even when I would be like struggling, I remember we got great song, but it's just not a cha-cha song. And I was struggling to find the feel for the dance and like the story. So I would do like 5 different beginnings and he would learn. And I'm like, I don't like it. I'm sorry. And you know, normally any other partner would be like, okay, woman, go make it up. Show it to me and let's stick to it. Mm-hmm. And he'd be like... It's okay. Let's try something else. And then he looked into the camera. He'd be like, ooh. But to me, he would be like, you know, you need to do another version. Let's try another version. He would be game for anything.
He's a professional.
Yes.
He's an actor. He knows what to do. He's been on since he was
exactly.
Kid.
And he did Broadway several times, which is like you need stamina and discipline to be able to live through Broadway and not like collapse. You know,
you did it yourself. You did a little burn the floor there.
Oh, and Forever Tango, and it was amazing. Like every single show and every single day was absolutely insane, like in so many ways. We loved it, but I remember like your body gets so tired and your mind that I was waiting for the intersection for the light to change so you can cross the street. And I remember it's 6th Avenue. I was on the way to the theater and it kept saying, like, blinking, don't walk. And you know, you're like, you're so tired that I was looking at don't walk. And I just thought, it is this don't walk. And I'm like, okay, this is getting a little crazy.
This 8 shows a week thing. I mean, your body is so tired, though.
Yeah.
Too. It's a lot for you guys.
Yeah. And then the only day off when you have the dark night, which is Monday, mm-hmm. we would usually use it for press to promote the show.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was tiring, but it was the most fulfilling experience. But back to Corbin, you know what? Corbin also, so I learned quite a bit from him as well. Mm-hmm. So I've never watched Game of Thrones before. I dance with Corbin, and Corbin goes, are you crazy? Like, you need to get on the, like, Game of Thrones train, because this is, like, amazing.
It's a huge show.
Yeah, so then, of course, I fell in love with the show, and now I'm obsessed, and I'm so sad that it's not coming back as soon as we want it to, because now you want to know what happens to Khaleesi and Jon Snow.
We gotta wait. I love that. He made you a Game of Thrones fan as well.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I know we've been talking a little bit about Dancing with the Stars Junior. You have a couple students that auditioned, right?
Yeah, I had quite a few kids that went for the audition. And of course, they're super nervous. They're like, oh my God, what are they going to ask us? So I hope they get to know who made it soon. Fingers crossed.
Yep.
I know, I think it's even more important for the parents than for some kids. Because, you know, my child made it to Dancing with the Stars. Moms.
You always need to know and things like that. I mean, what advice did you give them? Because this is, we were talking about someone that auditioned and I was like, personality is really going to matter on this
yes.
one.
Yes. And this is exactly what I said to the kiddos. The technique is not as important. Obviously, you know, you want to show that you're able to dance and that you're probably would be better off showing off that you're able to dance different styles. That it's not just ballroom. Because at this point, if we really look at the show, ballroom is like, like this big and everything else is like this big. Yeah. So I tried to give them like little routines that showed personality, like musicality and not necessarily just the technical elements. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you want someone who's funny, quick to think of things to say, witty, you know? And so I said, just walk in and be the biggest personality that you can be. And a lot of kids are like these kids sometimes, like the things that they say, you never expect them to say that.
That's right.
Yeah. So I hope they do well.
I know. I don't even know how many kids they're casting. Did they give you any indication or it's just...
I think when they were casting, they weren't 100% sure how many they were going to take. Yeah. So I think now they narrowed it down probably.
I'm sure. And, you know, they keep telling us June-ish premiere. We'll see because ABC has not said anything yet. So
wait. Maybe we weren't supposed to talk about it.
No, I mean, it's out there. We know the audition happened. Ah, so we're good.
Okay.
We know the audition. No. It was
usually,
all over.
If you want a secret out, you just tell me.
No, it was all over social media. I mean, we don't know a lot of the kids who auditioned. It was no... Sasha and Emma were there as well.
They brought back pictures. Like, look, we took pictures of Sasha
and Emma. Oh, that's so cute. Who just got married. Congratulations to
them. I know. I so wanted to be at the wedding. I couldn't make it because I was in Europe.
Traveling. She was a beautiful bride.
Oh, she's gorgeous. And she's gorgeous. Like, inside and out, beautiful.
I know. Love she's such them. A light. Such
and I remember light. Telling Sasha so many times, like, dude, when are you going to propose? When are you going to pop the question? And he was like telling me about how he was planning to do it. I was like, you kidding me? You got to do it on the show.
Oh,
so
really?
I am totally going to take credit for at least throwing that idea into his head.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but I mean, they're so cute together.
They are cute. And I was like, I'm glad to see that they had such a beautiful wedding and a beautiful day with so many friends surrounding them. So, well, that's good. I mean, we'll have to let us know if any of your students make it on this show. Cause I'm kind of excited because this is like whole summer of dance. So you think you can dance, world of dance. And supposedly junior, when they officially announce the premiere date, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know when that is. I know you and Elena have a really big project coming up. We talked a little bit about it last week, but tell us like a little bit more about it.
Well, this is a competition that we hold in San Jose, California. Mm-hmm. And we have all the divisions. We have the pro-am, we have the kids, we have the amateurs. What's really, really cool about it is that it falls on the day of the National Superhero Day.
Oh.
So we have all the judges dress up as superheroes for the kids for the earlier divisions or categories, which is kind of cool. It makes it a little bit less intimidating to get on the floor for the kids and dance. But yeah, it's awesome. We have a camp before and then we have a salsa welcome party. So we're starting off the competition with dancing.
I love that.
But a little bit more casual and more fun.
Social.
Yeah. And then we do the full day of competitions. And in the evening, we do the dinner gala with beautiful showcases. So we're very excited about that.
That is awesome. It's no easy undertaking, is it? It's a lot of work, huh?
No. And it's like I'm so grateful to have Elena as the partner because she's like hands-on. And I'm more like... getting, you know, sponsors money, like doing like promotion with the couples, like the computer work and all the entry forms. She's doing all of that. And
she was doing it last week before she came to the studio.
And I get to hear about it, but I don't necessarily need to participate, which is like, yay. But yeah, she's awesome. And it's, our website is up and if people want to get any info, it's www.dancestarsfestival.com. So hopefully people can come out. out.
Oh, I love that. I just love that, you know, you're able to sit there and like branch out and do all these interesting things. And, you know, then people, I'm sure people still like approach you and go, I love you on Dancing with the Stars. Do you still get that
all at this the point? Time? Which is kind of crazy because I feel like, well, I think Tony said, because I see Tony Devolani quite often as well. And mm-hmm. Tony said that it's only been 3 seasons that we both haven't been on, which feels like at least 5 years. I don't know why, because right. I think a lot of things have happened since. But people, like, they literally ask, oh, I loved you last season. And I was like, no, I wasn't like, there. And they were like, no, maybe that was the last season we watched. So I think some of the audience may be turned around and changed. But, I still get approached all the time. And I feel like it's probably never going to stop.
I probably won't. And it's such a cool calling card to be. I mean, you were on the show for so long. And it's such a nice family to be a part of. I mean, if they called you back, if they were like, we've got a spot in season 27 next fall. We've got the perfect partner for you. They requested you. Would you go back?
You know, I never say never because you never know like what tomorrow is going to bring. And I loved being on the show. I loved being part of the show. It's just I wanted to also do shows with Slav and I couldn't combine both.
It's impossible. Yeah.
And I know like it's a little bit more of a time like restrictive matter with Slav. Mm-hmm. Like we wouldn't be able to do those type of shows in 5 years, you know? So it's like the tick tick behind. So I had to make a choice, but I mean, I never say never. I always enjoyed being part of the Dancing with the Stars family. It's crazy and it's fun.
It is crazy and fun. Lots of drama and
yes.
The fans are passionate, you know.
And everybody has an opinion. It's like I remember my very first season, I started reading the blogs, right? Which was big mistake. Huge.
Don't ever do it.
Don't ever do it. And I was like, oh my God, this is so mean. And I think I cried for like 3 days. And then I can't remember who, I think it was Samantha Harris. I think Sam actually said to me, like, you can't read that. Like, sometimes people would just post something mean just because they can.
Right.
Without even meaning that, you know? So I was like, okay. But like, they said this about my mom and they never mentioned, like, it's okay. Don't read it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, forget about it. Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of, it's an amazing phenomenon. Then sometimes you're like, why are you so mean? Just talk about the pro that you love or talk about the contestant you love. Why are you throwing hate? That's what I never understand that one. I'm always just like, talk about the happy part.
Well, someone said to me, and it, like they told me an advice or they gave me an advice. They said, just write back something nice and block them. So like if I would have a mean message, I would say, I really hope you find happiness or I hope you have a better day. Block
and bye. Yeah, there were always certain seasons when we were doing After Buzz with Dancing with the Stars, like season 18, Max and Meryl. I blocked more people than I can possibly imagine. There were certain seasons, and then season when Derek was injured that season, I want to say it was season 20 when he had Nastia and he was coming back.
Yes.
A lot of blocks there too. So it's funny, like certain seasons like get people excited or it has something to do. They get really passionate about a certain contestant, and I was like, this is a tough season. Bye.
Block.
I can go back and look at my block list on Twitter and go, this was all 18. This was 20.
By seasons.
I do, like, I remember some of the names because some of, I mean, even at me, I'm like, I'm not even on the show.
No, but sometimes you get like diehard fans that would like then fight the negative people and negative comments, and like they will literally go to battle, like, how dare you? And they, and then you kind of you feel bad that they are taking on this battle, so then you always like send them a message, say thank you, like, you're so sweet, but let's not like waste our energy.
Because you, if you put a ton of emotional energy out on something that's not worth it, it's exhausting for everyone.
So
it's kind of crazy. I'd love to know, because we only have a few minutes left, but what are some of your goals and dreams that you haven't achieved yet in dance that you're just like, I have to do this?
Well, you know, for me, dancing is a never-ending learning experience. Mm-hmm. Like, to this day, I still go to my coaches. I still take lessons.
Good.
And, yeah, a lot of couples like, why? I was like, why not? Like, there's so much more to learn. And that's the beauty of dancing. Like, it never, it's not like you, you know, go to school, you go to med school, you do the residence, and then you're done. Like, you never finish learning if you ever want it. And Nureyev, I think Nureyev said it the best. He said, why stop learning when you have so much more to learn still? You know, and he was still learning when, like, he was already the one and only.
The greatest ballet dancer.
Exactly. So, but you know what? Another project that I have, which is this August, at the end of August, August 26th, we have... like SAG Awards, we have Golden Globes, we have Oscars in the movie industry. And then the Emmys that do the daytime and the evening Emmys.
Right.
But we don't have anything like that for dancing, for the ballroom world. So this August, August 26th, the first time we're doing Dance Vision Awards presented by NTR, which is pretty much your dance Oscars.
And I love it. Are you doing it here in LA or New York?
In LA. The first one is in LA in Hollywood. And Swarovski partnered up with us and they produce in the trophies. And the trophies are amazing.
They must be gorgeous.
I literally was like, can I nominate myself?
You're like, because I want something. One of these.
Yeah.
They make some of my favorite red carpet jewelry.
Yes.
I just think it's always so stunning and elegant without it being like a $2 million necklace.
I know. And I was just in Innsbruck, Austria. And that's where their like flagship headquarters or whatever. Is like this is where the main Swarovski store and factory. So I got to go and visit, and they like it's I was like, oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, if you need a red carpet host, I'm right here. I'll
do
it.
Yes,
I'm totally down for it.
That would be amazing.
Yay! Bye. This is how I stump for jobs. I invite people on, and then I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. But I love that you're doing that. What kind of inspired you to really come together and do this?
Because, like, I always wondered why we don't have something like this, something that would celebrate ballroom industry, like, champions and favorites in itself. Why, like, we do have different dance awards, but the ballroom rarely gets even into the nomination, like the competitive and social ballroom world. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create something where, like, because obviously the competitions, you, when you win a competition, you know, you have same kind of, you know, situation as with bloggers on Dancing with the Stars. Some people are happy, some people are not. Some people say, oh, it's a political result. But with awards, people nominate and people vote. So it becomes, you might not be a world champion, but you might be a crowd favorite.
You're a people's champion.
Exactly.
I love that. That's going to be so much fun. What a great idea. I think that is awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of work though. I'm bringing Yelena in because I know she'll be like...
She's the queen organizer.
Yes.
She's like, I got this. I got this. Well, thank you so much for coming in, especially where you're doing this whirlwind tour, have all these projects on your plate.
Thank you.
You're always a joy to talk with, and we'll look forward and fingers crossed for your juniors. Your juniors.
Yes.
We love them. You guys, by the way, I just want to let you know that I'm going to do a little giveaway because I was at Pro Dance Camp this weekend with the boys.
Nice.
So I've got to give away, let's see, Artem, shirtless, and it's signed.
Nice.
Let's see what else I have. I'm like, oh, I've got Alan. He signed his. I don't have
Glebs. I love that Alan is wearing a shirt.
He's so cute. He is wearing a shirt. And then I've got the Pro Dance Camp. Oh, yes, program. So Gleb's in this one, I know for sure. So you guys. So I will put that up on Instagram, tell you all the rules and what you need to do. Do you have a signed headshot?
Well, I don't carry one with me. It'd be weird. Like, oh, yes. There it is.
I'm like, I'll add it to the mix. I was like, and then I'll add Karina to the mix. I don't know. But
I just carry one with me at all times.
Sometimes people have headshots in their car. You never know. It's LA, you know. It is true. But I will put that up on my Instagram later today, so look for all of the rules. I'm going to make it simple, you guys. But we will see you all next week here with To The Point. If everyone wants to find you on social media, where can they find you?
It's Karina_Smirnoff.
Perfect. She's got a ton of projects on her plate. We'll see you all next week, To The Point with Kristen Burt. And don't forget, check out all the latest dance news at dancenetwork.tv.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.